is up, sexy people of the internet? It is Dave. That's me. That's Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Chilean extreme metal band Aether. The band's new album, Somber, will be released on April 19th via Torque Records. So, born in Santiago, Chile in 2010, out of the mind of Fernando Feroz Buring. The band were originally named Aeons Collide, but later to be renamed Aether in 2013.
Don't be an Aether.
God, is it going to be one of those reviews, is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it until 2 seconds ago, and now I'm not committing to one of those disruptive ones.
Now your brain is gone.
We will wait. Like, my brain is honestly about a million things. At the moment, the wall is holding it back.
Okay.
The mind palace has it restrained.
Since Aether's inception, Feroz begun writing and collecting riffs, and after several years of experimentation, Aether's debut album, Eternal Grey Spiral, was conceived. Written and produced by Feroz in his home studio in Santiago, he then relocated to Los Angeles, California, where the mix was finished, and finally the album was self-released in 2018. Mm-hmm. Despite pretty much not promoting the album for not knowing any better, Eternal Grey Spiral still got some traction as it engaged with a very passionate fans, and by now has been streamed over 200,000 times on Spotify.
Decent.
After meeting at a Meshuga show in Los Angeles,
had no influence at all on their sound.
Days after the release of Eternal Grey Spiral, Aether was joined by the talents of Josh Saul Seguin and Stefan Kalani Seguin, playing guitar and drums respectively. This marks a turning point for the band, now becoming able to perform live. Feroz begun taking charge of vocals as well as continuing playing bass for Aether, and so the project became a full band. With a new lineup and new vision, Fernando leads the composing process of the new album titled Somber. Tagged by fans as Blackened Thal, the new album Somber can be described as one of the heaviest, darkest and most extreme works ever created in metal. Every song on the album carries a story, creating an immersive experience for the listener from beginning to end, thanks to the album's clever songwriting, unique structuring and heavy, dark ambience. Somber was recorded during the COVID pandemic, was mixed by Feroz in a temporary studio in Mexico City, where he was hiding during restriction times. The album was then mastered by none other than Ted Jensen of Sterling Sound.
Ooh.
Big Ted. Ooh. Ted's a man. I had never heard of this band before, but when I kind of read the little kind of press release, I was interested in kind of hearing the involvement of a band that initially started as one person, and is now kind of developed into a full band. There was obviously a certain keyword mentioned in the press release that, you know, I'm not going to lie.
Los Angeles.
LA. May have piqued my interest just a little bit, Duncan. And on that particular influence, let's just get this out of the way. I know, like, we've done hundreds of reviews, right? And we talk about bands that try and emulate that sound.
Yes.
Which is nearly impossible to replicate. Mm-hmm. Because Meshuggah are so exceptionally good in what they do. Bands try, but 99% of them never really get that close to it. This might be one of the 1%, if you ask me. Aether might be one of the few bands that can actually reproduce a sound that is very similar to Meshuggah, but not sound like a really shit version of it. Which I was quite impressed with, that they managed to kind of pull this off. However, there are some variations in this as well. Although these guys clearly worship at the church of Meshuggah every Sunday, there's definitely something much darker at the core of this. And I think the band name, I think Aitor, I think it's Latin for like dark or gloomy or something along that kind of line. So that would make sense.
Short and form of hater, Dave.
Yes, that is also true, Duncan. That is true.
You hate me right now, don't you?
Before I actually listened to the album, I had a look at their Spotify and I saw the previous album, Eternal Grey Spiral. So I was like, let's do a wee jump back in time to 2018. Mm-hmm. Not physically, obviously. I don't have a hot tub time machine or anything like that. Just onto Spotify. And I checked out the previous album, or should I say Fernando's solo album, basically, because it was just him back then, just a solo project. That album, and I didn't realise, was totally instrumental. There was no vocals on the first album, which is different to Somber, obviously. The Meshuggah-isms were still a key part
making it words.
of the sound. On Somber, however, things have taken a bit of a turn. This is like Meshuggah, but with a really like blackened death metal heart almost. It's massively heavy on the riff front. Like it actually sounds like they've detuned even more on this album from the last one. Mm-hmm. But it's got this real like streak of something really menacing, really bleak throughout this album. And because of these kind of additional styles that they've now woven into the sound, it definitely brought a lot more kind of variance to the table. The 2018 album, it pretty much kept within that like Meshuggah kind of tempo and groove for the most part, which this album still has, but they've also incorporated all these different tempos and different kind of grooves into the album. So you've got like really kind of like mid-paced kind of deathy grooves, you've got kind of thrashier parts, and then you've got like full-on blackened blast sections as well. So for me, instantly this became far more interesting when I hit play on this one. It's a far more distinctive release than the previous album. And with these like additional elements and this kind of wider range of styles, I found it much easier to kind of distinguish each track on the album much more, which I felt like the last release was kind of missing a bit for me. It kind of blended at times. And every track on this album starts slightly differently. Mm-hmm. You've got like tracks like Descending, which kicks off more kind of like in a more kind of thrashier elements, to these kind of clean pick guitars on the title track, or a really like low strung kind of groove on Through the Portal, or even a kind of doomy kind of feel on Ignis Immortalis. They all kind of start off their journey in a different way. And I kind of loved that, because with that distinction, I could tell exactly which track I was listening to on this album. Just to highlight one of those tracks I mentioned for me, I thought Through the Portal was fucking exceptional. It is an absolute powerhouse of a track. Now, my favourite, like Meshuggah are one of my favourite bands. My favourite era of the band is from the Nothing album. And if you're a fan of that era, then this track is going to get you hella moist, Duncan. I was just like, just kind of sitting with my mouth open the whole time. The guitar tone.
You were, you filthy bitch.
the guitar tone is just unbelievably hefty on that track, and the groove they've got on it is colossal. I love the groove on it. But then I love that they were like, we're going to follow that track up, which is, you know, it's fairly slow and quite meaty in its pace. But then they follow up with Ignis Immortalis, which it starts really slow and kind of doomy, but then it launches into this like wave of like blast beats and really kind of blackened riffs. So there's the album just switches from track to track, but they never abandon the groove at any point. You know, that's one thing I personally really loved about this album, is even when they do kind of detour into something more like with kind of breakneck speed, they always recenter you with this massive groove that you can just kind of bang your head to. And Ignis Immortalis is all of that. The other surprise on that track was, up until that point, the vocal style from Fernando had been fairly savage. You know, he's got a very kind of coarse, kind of deathy style to his voice. Mm-hmm. He adds in the kind of odd, kind of higher range scream as well. But on Ignis Immortalis, we get the first taste of clean vocals, which are kind of deep and almost kind of like melancholic in style. And I loved the cleans on this. I thought it added like even more kind of like gravitas to the sound of that track. And it was a great kind of move to make at just over the kind of halfway mark, kind of showing that like, oh, these guys aren't done. Like they've still got more in their kind of armory to kind of dish out on this album. Mm-hmm. And also it was great to hear that it wasn't just a one-off. Like the then add them into track six, which is Shrine. And again, really cool addition to the track. They reminded me, the cleans kind of reminded me of like a, almost kind of like some of the kind of proggier death metal bands, not as like high pitched as like Rivers of Nile or Fallujah or something like that, but a similar type vibe to them in the kind of choice of melody. But I thought it was another cool, really cool pivot on the track, again, just to keep you completely engaged in it. The solo on that track is fucking killer, like one of the best guitar solos I've heard this year. Mm-hmm. Josh, the guitarist, absolutely nails it. The way he kind of he ties it from the last part of the clean vocals, and he just delivers this really like classy kind of refined solo. It's so smooth, really well executed, and the end of the track has got this huge kind of climax with synths, which I haven't even mentioned yet, but they add such a great like kind of backdrop of atmosphere and mood to the tracks. I thought they were a really cool addition. And then track seven, I'm not sure how you totally pronounce this. I think it's Latin, but it's like Seculi Fine. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. It's the kind of last main track before the outro track. And it is just like the definition of weight. It is ridiculous. Just full of power, really tight. Like the band are very locked in on that track. And the bottom string of the guitar just sounds like it's hanging off the fretboard at times. It's just stupid. Like it's stupidly detuned to something crazy low. But they kind of scatter that track with bits of clean work on the guitars. There's short bursts of speed on it as well. There's, again, you've got those kind of dark synths working. And actually, as a track, it really kind of encompasses all the kind of heaviest parts of their sound. I thought it was a really good track. And then the final track is more of a kind of outro of the album. The production on this, unlike some of the inconsistent Meshuggah albums that we've had, is fucking monstrous. Like, mm-hmm. the sound of this album was crazy good. The guitar tone, I love the tone of guitar, so wiry, and it's just full of power and tone. It's like almost kind of like a little bit of Humanity's Last Breath type heavy. Like it's got that kind of weight to it. Drums are just as crushing. The bass drums have got just real punch to them, and they accent those little kind of polyrhythmic kind of riffs on the album. It's all mixed really well, and nothing feels overpowering. The vocals have got plenty of room. They're never drowned out by any of the instrumentation, and the bass actually cuts through really well, which, you know, is a bit of a task considering how heavy those guitars are. So I think like Fernando has done a killer job with the album, and Ted Jensen, who like we know his work very well. He's worked with all the big bands, Gojira, Pantheon. Like he mastered the Great Southern Trendkill, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? Like the guy knows his shit, and the mastering on this album is fucking flawless. I really like this. I think these guys are awesome. As a Meshuggah fan and like as a fan of that band, this is right up my street. I've listened to this about 7 times already, and I'm still like grooving the shit out of it every time I hear it. Thoroughly impressed. These guys are totally on my radar now. Looking forward to hearing what they do next. What about yourself? What did you think of Aether?
Yeah, so, I mean, as someone that doesn't read press statements, there was a band in the back of my head.
Was there? Right.
I heard, specifically through the tone of the guitars.
Yeah.
Which are just, like, Through the Portal is a great example of there's a low groove that song has that is honestly, I challenge anyone's face to defy gravity and not pull down like Robert De Niro. It's just so fucking monstrous sounding.
Yeah.
I mean, that influence is in there, but I see why people would start leaning towards the blackened element. Because there's plenty of that through there, whether it's blasts or like those shreddy riffs in Ignis and Mortalis, which has this huge blackened streak that kind of like powers right through it. Mm. But it's not a gimmick either. You know, it suits their sound. And the vocals actually don't at any point go blackened per se, but I actually enjoy that they keep grimded with that kind of Scandinavian Meshuggah sound. The production's monstrous. I actually think their songwriting is really, really clever. I think they get quite playful at times, and they have a really good idea of differentiation between tracks. So tracks do deliberately sound like they start off in different places.
Yeah.
Some heavier than others. Tempo switches are aplenty here as well. So whereas you could, if you were being cheeky, argue that bands like Meshuggah have a tendency to be a bit monotonous with certain tempos, that's not here at all. They keep the switch-ups relatively crisp and fresh. This album is under 40 minutes as well, so I get the feeling that by the end of this, I haven't heard every trick the band has up its sleeve, and I kind of want to hear more, but at the same time, I think it's the perfect length for this album. I think another track on top of this might have been one too many. Mm. And Solitude as a closing track is actually very cleverly placed. You know, it does the job.
Yeah.
I think as a first album, as a full band, this is showing like a maturity in songwriting and a skill set, which is staggeringly good.
Yeah.
And having not heard the original solo project, like vocally, this guy wasn't doing vocals, but he's fucking got a monstrous tone.
I know.
Like, you were born to do this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think personally that I'd be interested to see them maybe utilize a little less Meshuggah. But I think this is the counter to that argument, and I think you did it succinctly there. Is there's a lot of bands that try it and a lot of bands that don't come close to it.
Yeah.
I think actually they come the closest to it without directly sounding like it. So that in itself, to me, they sound like they're influenced by not trying to sound like, which in itself is that like is big brownie points for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you get a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Even the clean vocals that come in this one. I just add this like wonderful layer on what they're doing. You mentioned the synth work as well. It's utilized perfectly. It's purely for atmosphere on this.
Yeah.
And it works, but not like disturbing atmosphere. It lifts tracks. So yeah, there's a whole lot going on here that is really interesting for a band coming out with what we can describe as their debut as a band.
Yeah.
Definitely want to watch. These guys could be world killers. Yeah. Like genuinely. Yeah, very impressed.
Nice. So, final thing for this new album from Aether, what would we score this album? Obviously, they are wearing some influences on their sleeve. That is apparent. But they're also adding in this whole other side that Meshuggah don't do, which is this kind of blackened, kind of death metal kind of element to their sound. And I fucking love that. I love the kind of variance of this album. But it's also given me what I love about Meshuggah at the same time, which is those big fucking hefty grooves. And production wise, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is could be one of the best produced non-Meshuggah albums I've heard. I really like this. I think I'll come back to this quite a lot. I think it might be better than the last Meshuggah album, to be honest. I'm going to go 4.5 on this. I really enjoyed this one. And like, if this is just the start of things, you know, to come from these guys, then who knows what's next. Killer stuff. What about yourself?
Marginally below. I'm coming in with 4 on this one. Which might be the same score I gave the previous Meshuggah album, or maybe a little bit above, to be honest. I definitely want to watch. I think we should all be keeping a close eye on what's going to come from them, because bit of time, bit more swagger, bit more time as a band together, so we could be looking at something that could be the natural successor to, I won't keep using the band name, but Meshuggah has a shelf life. It will eventually get to a point where they drift off. They've been with us so long that people are going to clamber for bands to kind of take that mantle and have that sound. And Aether might be that very band. So don't be an Aether and listen to the album.
Jesus. Aether and Somber out on April 19th on Torque Records. Links below to the band. Check out their Bandcamp. Have a listen to some of the tracks they've released so far. Let us know what you think. Stick some comments in once you've had a listen to it. That is our review. Thank you for checking out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.